Welcome to the Whole Indie Show, your home for your weekly slice of indie goodness.
So it's natural that I ask myself, is this a risk I'm willing to take? And the answer, absolutely.
If you know something about me, you know that I am trying to change the wave of the future.
Jesus was ashamed when he complained on the cross.
Innocence, once lost, can never be regained. Darkness, once gazed upon, can never be lost. All things truly wicked start from innocence.
Because I want to see you, see me, smash up. Come and play.
What I want is Bryan Danielson's head on a stick.
This is my challenge to everybody on the independent scene, and that's to thrive. Thrive to be the best in the world.
With your host, Ashley Richardson.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I knew we'd tear the fucking roof off.
And welcome, everybody, to a pretty short and sharp episode this week of The Whole Indie Show with me, Ashley Richardson. Don't worry, though, we've still got quite a lot to get through, as usual. Your previews coming up later on. And in a few minutes, we're going to have results from the shows from this past week. But first, the news, and we've got quite a bit of it. First off, the official announcement that Lucha Underground will be returning for a second season in 2016. It's sort of all that we know as of recording. They still haven't really confirmed full details on what's going on. The only things that we sort of do know from all the various updates and whatever since the announcement was made, the plan is for the taping still to be happening in Los Angeles. They're going to start taping at some point within the next couple of months, before the end of the year, certainly. And the shows will start airing at some point at somewhere early 2016. No confirmation sort of as date or anything yet, but I believe it was Wrestling Observer saying that Dave Meltzer's got word that they're going to start taping sometime in December, and the rumor is that Rey Mysterio might be the big talent being added for the second season. There's also word of Alberto has sort of tweeted it, saying not confirmed, but there's other reports saying that it is confirmed that Alberto is going to be part of the second season, which, considering he was sort of integral to quite a lot of the story for the first season anyway, it would sort of make sense. But yeah, no doubt more news on that probably coming in the next few weeks. For news from Beyond, they've announced the next tournament for tomorrow, and it's taking place in November, and the format would be obviously something to do with number four, and that is, it's going to be four-way matches, so sort of similar to, I guess, Shikara's Rey de Valladares tournament, so it'll be a lot of chances for people to be involved there, so should be pretty interesting. A little bit of Evolve news, and I guess this is due to announcements made by certain other companies, shall we say, that are on television on Destination America. Hint, hint. Mysteriously, the indefinite suspension on Drew Galloway will be ending on November the 1st, meaning that Galloway will be returning to Evolve for their next shows in Florida in November. Isn't this mysterious? So, yeah, it looks as if It looks as if Drew's coming back, which, to be honest, the way they wrote him out was sort of a very, very shoddily put together way of doing it. But they've also announced that, and it's an interesting thing. So Gargano and Swan vacated the DGUSA tag belts and asked for Evolve tag titles to be instituted. Apparently, Evolve will start putting more emphasis on the tag division, and if successful, there will be tag team titles for the Evolve division. For the time being, they're going to focus on super teams featuring two star single wrestlers forming new duos, which will compete against either regular teams or other super teams. So the first match has been signed in this format for Evolve 49 coming up in mid-October. And that's going to be TJ Perkins teaming up with Timothy Thatcher to take on Roppongi Vice of Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero. So that should be a good one. I've also got Drew Gulak taking on Trevor Lee for that show, Evolve 49. The winner getting a Evolve title shot against Timothy Thatcher at Evolve 50. Tony Nese, Andrew Everett, Matt Cage and Peter Casa in Fatal 4-Way action. Matt Riddle taking on Jonathan Gresham. There's your UFC fighter there and everything. Tracy Williams going one-on-one with Willie Mack. And also more to be signed with Ethan Page and Caleb Connolly also being set to appear. They've also announced WWN Live that they are doing a seminar tryout thing. So it's your chance to get booked in somewhere in the WWN family, which includes FIP, Cheyenne, as well as Evolve. So if you want to know more about that, go to dgusa.tv. And there is a seminar tryout section, and you can get all the info there. And you can also contact them at help@dgusa.tv if you've got any questions that I guess aren't answered in the FAQ that might be on the site or whatever. Oldie Wrestling have announced that they will be also coming to Indiana in November for... trying to think, the Body Slam. Yeah, it's all about the Body Slams for the show in November at the Cornerstone Center for the Arts. So there will be Thunder Kitty taking on Hondi the River. That's the only match they've confirmed so far. But it'll also be appearances from Fernando de Rojo, Lewis Linden, Dr. Jacob Oman, the Lobby and Legislators of an Anti-Saloon Land, and the Remarkable Billy Rock, the Jollyville Jeepers, the Lone Star Lion Tamer, Justin Lillard, Gregory Iron, and the Old Timer, Jeff King. I think you can get tickets and info and all that at oldiewrestling.com. So there's your news. So now we'll get into results, starting off with the 82nd anniversary show for CMLL. The big thing to note about this is... it did pretty well on iPay-per-view with like 10,000 people watching, but the only problem with it was the reason why there was probably 10,000 people watching is because even though it was on pay-per-view, it was broadcast on YouTube. And by broadcast on YouTube, what I actually mean is it was an unlisted video. So as long as you had the link, nobody else was in theory able to see it. Except when people did get the link. And the fact of the matter was, it wasn't account protected. Anybody could get the link and actually see it. Which, I have to admit, includes me. Because after the Ring of Honor show finished, which I'll get to in a minute, I did see somewhat of the main event for this show. So I'll go through the rest of the card anyway before that. So the show opened with Disturbio, Puma and Virus, whatever you want to call it, however you pronounce it, sorry, beating Esfinge, Fuego, and the Panther. Guerrero Maya Jr., Maximo and Stuka Jr. beat Polvora, Dragon Rojo Jr. and Rey Escorpion. Dark Angel's farewell match saw her win over Princesa Sujihit with Rhaenyra. Thank the fans and Paco Alonso for everything, and she'll do everybody proud. Then Dragon Lee, Mystico and Valiente beat Felino, Mr. Miebla and Negro Casas. Then in the Relevos Increíbles deal, Shocker, Ultimo Guerrero and Volador Jr. got the DQ win over Marco Corleone, Rush and Thunder. So basically, Volador win by DQ when basically Rush got himself purposely DQ'd. And then afterwards, Volador Jr. challenged Rush to a hair match. I'm not sure which show that's going to be at. But then we had Atlantis versus La Sombra for the mask versus mask match. So Atlantis got the first fall by DQ when Rush interfered. Then La Sombra took the second fall during his shenanigans. And then finally, after I think it's called Atlantida. It's basically sort of a version of the, I was going to say the Rack Attack, but it's the, Lex Luger's submission. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Torture Rack. There we go. Should have known it. Sort of a version of that, but La Sombra taps, and the crowd in the arena went crazy, and quite a lot of most of the people sort of on the internet were doing the exact same thing, except angrily, because La Sombra is 25 years old. As per the stipulation, he had to unveil himself, and he is Manuel Alfonso Andrade Oropes from Gomez Palacio, and he's 25. Atlantis is getting on. I think possibly in his late 40s, I'm not entirely sure. And a guy that's got a lot of career in front of him versus a guy who's probably coming to the end of his career. But apparently the young blood can't go on or something. I don't know. Basically the deal from this is basically Atlantis defending his mask every year seems to be at least the best draw in Mexico for CMLL, and it wouldn't be a surprise, obviously, if that happened every year, because if it's going to get enough of a draw. Admittedly, it wasn't a full show. Apparently, some of the mid-price seats were empty, but the most expensive and the cheapest seats were practically sold out, as they normally are. So, but then again, with the prices that the tickets were, because apparently they were pretty extortionate. The issue is obviously finding people who still. The issue is finding talent that will make it feel right. He's going to lose his mask in order to legitimize that. Ultimo Guerrero. I don't think it was Ultimo Dragon, but Ultimo did it last year. This year it was obviously the Sombra. It's a case of who's next, Goldberg style. The immediate post-match idea seems to be possibly having Atlantis take on Rush, but obviously the problem is Rush is going to be in a hair match by the looks of it with Volador Jr. But there's going to have to be some way to build it if that is going to be the case, but we'll have to see what develops over the upcoming months. the sad thing is that the crowd didn't really care about Sarita's retirement match and didn't have that much of a reaction, which is a shame, according to the guys who were live in attendance. And apparently the Wrestler Thunder was absolutely atrocious in person. So, oh, and on the match front, because obviously, as I mentioned last week, Shocker and Marco Corleone was originally supposed to be L.A. Park and Dr. Wagner. Wagner was part of a indie show, a lucha indie show, that week. Or this week, past weekend. And was told people he's living in the present, living in the present, and doesn't want to talk about the past. So apparently, you know, at this rate, Dr. Wagner's trying to run for president or something of Mexico. Because that's a very political answer. Anyway, next up, just completed, pretty much as of recording, the New Japan Destruction in Okayama show from Wednesday. Show opened with Shibata, Nagata, Komatsu, and Tanaka beating Naito, Nakanishi, Dave Finley, and Jay White via submission. Red Dragon were victorious over Jushin Thunder Liger and Mascara Dorada. Then, in your NWA Junior Heavyweight title match, we have a new champion as Tiger Mask made Steve Anthony submit to... I'm not sure what move, but yeah, you have a new NWA Junior Heavyweight title champion. Then Hiroshi Tanahashi and Matt Sydal beat the Bullet Club of Fale and Tonga. The other two members, Anderson and Gallows, then beat Satoshi Kojima and Arashi Tenzan Tenkoji to retain the tag titles. Then in year 5-on-5, Nakamura, Romero, Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Beretta beat Goto, Shelley, Honma, New Japan, and Taguchi. Then we had Toriyano and Kazuchika Okada getting the victory over Bullet Club of AJ Styles and Cody Hall. Then your penultimate match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. We have a new champion, once again, Kenny Omega beating Kushida. So, with Kenny Omega's rematch, he gets his title back from a few months back. There you go, and the show closed with an ever open weight title match with Togi Makabe beating Kota Ibushi to retain. So, that's the news there. Next, AWE had a fan appreciation day at the Quad in downtown Atlanta. So in this one, I think this is different to the AWE that we normally talk about, but I'll talk about it anyway because some interesting stuff here. Luscious Laron beat Austin Blackburn. Priscilla Kelly then called out any man or woman to fight her, and Paul Coldhard came out and asked her if she needs security. She slapped him, and we had an impromptu Raw match going down. Apparently she won, yeah, and she hit Sharkeesia on Paul and got the Duke after multiple interferences from Murder One and Chip. Next, we had Team IOU beat the debuting Aaron Solo and Jason Cade. Then, before intermission, Marco called out Glenn Chips Matthews after some berating that James Dillon came out to support Matthews, and Marco made a challenge that DDP Yoga couldn't get Glenn in shape before December 13th. So, how hard's going on there? Eddie Graves beat Ken Lee via submission. Jimmy Ray victorious over Chris Crunk. Then we had Grizz beating Adan Kaliu Afterwards, Darkmon apparently attacked Grizz, and the two big beasts squared off against each other. Then Sugar D got the win over an Epic, and then the main event had the Kraken of the Hierarchy, comprising of Chip Day and Murder One, defeating the submission squad of Gary J and Pierre Abernathy. Next on the card, next on the results, I should say, CWF Mid-Atlantic's Blind Chance from Saturday. So you had your mystery opponent matches right at the start, actually. First up for Roy Wilkins to take on, randomly selected, was Jesse Adler. With Wilkins winning after assist from Coach Gemini, after Adler was a draw, with an assist from Coach Gemini. That means, of course, Wilkins defending his future title shot he earned by winning the Johnny Weaver Cup tournament. Chet Sterling then retained his TV title over another randomly picked opponent, which was Eric Andrews. And then Marcellus King took on another randomly picked opponent of Nick Richards. Said to be a very good match, Marcellus King retaining. 1 point late in the bouts, Richards did seem to have the bout won, but Lee Valiant yanked the referee out, ruining the chance for his own partner. But Richards got a standing ovation afterwards. Brad Attitude, the former champ of the former Mid-Atlantic title holder, sent in a taped message vowing to enter the Rumble in a couple of weeks and reclaim his title. Then we had the angle which was teased at the last show last week. Bobby O'Neill, the former manager of the Killbillies, resurfaced for the first time in quite a while and demanded answers from Eric Andrews in an in-ring speech. Andrews then attacked O'Neill and knocked him out with his dangerous knee trembler move, but only after Bobby confirmed that their former partner, Evan Banks, was not in the building. So pretty much, take the easy way out. And for the rest of the card, Aaron Biggs, Mark James and Zane Riley beat Ethan Chereau, Michael McAllister and Sis. Afterwards, McAllister seemed poised to attack Sharp, but Sharp promised to find him and bring him back. There you go. Chris Lee beat Darius Lockhart to stop his losing streak, so Lee victorious again for the first time in quite a bit. Darius continually yelled at Smith Garrett, who was on commentary for this one, during the match, and the two came to blows afterwards with Smith Garrett vowing he would return to the ring one day. Storyline, methinks? I thinks. And then the main event saw Eric Royal and Ray Kandrak beat Zane and Dave Dawson, which was originally thrown out by the official, but then restarted as a no DQ Texas Tornado match. But after the loss, Zane Dawson cornered the PWI president, William L. Cross, in the ring, until Rick Converse appeared and managed to back him down. So there was some very nearly crazy stuff that happened. Speaking of crazy stuff, Alpha One. I don't have the full results for this card, but we do have one moment that happened. During the Alpha One tag title eliminator match, where the tag title was on the line, we actually had a wrestler pooping on somebody. I think it was sort of stage poop, because the trunks got pulled down and there was brown stuff that didn't really behave seemingly like poop. But yeah, somebody possibly did a crap in the ring. Even if it wasn't true, it was very well put together, because it's sort of in fleeting glimpses, you can't really tell. So they did a good job. So, nice job, Mr. Page. That's all I'm saying. AAW's defining moment from Friday now. Show opened with Christian Faith taking on the debuting Trevor Lee, and Trevor Lee got the victory with a reverse win into a small package. Afterwards, Gregory Iron wasn't happy with Christian and told him that he was on borrowed time. Then for your Heritage title, Lewis Linden beat Matt Cage to retain with a Dragon Sleeper. In the Triple Threat tag match, Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett beat Zero Gravity and the other team of Candice LeRae and Heidi Lovelace after hitting a diving powerbomb from the top rope from Vega, followed by a fallaway backbreaker by Fitchett on Heidi Lovelace. Then we had Eddie Kingston beat Tyson Dukes via backslide. Afterwards, Dukes did attack Eddie and the refs had to stop him from stomping on a chair around Kingston's neck, because that's nice. After that, Johnny Gargano beat Chris Hero with the Gargano Escape submission. Marcus Crane beat Shane Sabre in under 4 minutes. Then we had Ethan Page retaining the AEW title over Matt Cross with the Spinning Dwayne. Johnny Gargano then comes out issuing a challenge to Page for the AAW title at the October show in a couple of weeks. Page, though, decides to up the ante and make it a 2 out of 3 falls match. That I'm looking forward to. Next, Kongo Kong beat Justice Jones by reversing it into a Hurricane Rana and followed it up with a top rope splash. And then your Falls Count Anywhere match for the AAW tag titles. Well, we have new champions, as the Hooligans beat OI4K, taking advantage of a distraction and hitting a spike tombstone to win the belts. So there you go. And finally, the couple of Ring of Honor shows. So first up, All-Star Extravaganza 7, the actual pay-per-view itself. Presentation-wise, they did a really good job. Much better lighting than it has been in previous venues. You know, it did look like a very good professional pay-per-view, which, you know, you'd expect because it's actually a pay-per-view on television, not an internet thing. So first up, Jay Lethal defending his TV title against Bobby Fish, which was a good opener, really good opener. The main thing was Lethal wanted to basically try and win by any means necessary, even if it was by DQ. But Fish did actually break Lethal down a little bit with working the leg and getting some kicks, which in turn obviously would affect the match later on in the night with Kyle O'Reilly, which it sort of did. But yeah, Lethal basically rolled back while in a leg lock and held on to the tights to get the free count and retain the belt. So very, very lucky. Then Silas Young beat Dalton Castle with the boys after a low blow and misery to win possession of the boys, because slavery apparently is still a thing in wrestling. So it was a nice little story bit. There was various antics and whatever with the boys trying to help out their guy to win, because they didn't want to get got or whatever by Silas. And it was still a good match. There was some comedy, but you know, there were some good spots certainly as well. So then we had the Briscoes Open Challenge match. So first the Decade came out. So people were wondering, okay, it's a bit weird. And the revelation was BJ Whitmer's on commentary. Then Romantic Touch came out, only to get beaten up by the Briscoes. So I don't know what happened there. And then music that we haven't heard for a while in Ring of Honor played out. Yes, the ANX theme hit. And yeah, Rhett Titus is back. But more importantly, Kenny King is back. And on commentary for a little bit, they sort of did tease that, oh, well, he went to greener pastures. Why is he back here? Obviously taking somewhat of a jibe at the company that is still on their network, at least for the next few months. with them in Ring of Honor. But the problem with this, you know, the match was really good, and you know, they really sort of gelled together, considering it's the first time that All Night Express have been a tag team for a few years. Obviously with King's departure, but also with the fact that Titus hasn't been around for somewhat close to a year, I'd say. The problem with this was the commentators of Steve Corino and BJ Whitmer were sort of just bickering among themselves. So there wasn't a huge amount of tension being paid to the match, which was just a shame. But then again, you know, this feud apparently will never finish between them. Afterwards, Adam Page tried to attack Jay with a cheap attack, obviously building towards the TV tapings the following day. But ANX came back to the save and they all shook hands after the match. Good job, though, certainly. Then we have the no DQ match with Moose and Cedric Alexander. My God, this was a very impressive stuff. There was a giant bump for Moose on a ladder. Vader Scott managed to beat up Stokely Hathaway, stealing his Kevin Smith clerk's hat. Apparently, there was a pretty much a Van Damminator from Cedric to Moose, which was, you know, a nice callback, I guess. Moose is getting better and better. You know, the promo that he did in sort of the video package that they had was very good, and he's really sort of getting the a good job. Moose got the win after Cedric hit Vader with a dropkick by accident in the corner, and Stokely hit Cedric with a wrench, followed by a spear for a table. You know, it was really good. It's worth checking out, certainly, this match. Then we have match three, of the Best of Five series. It was very much of a technical match they did a good job. It was the 6:30 Midnight Star Splash combo, though, that got the win for ACH. With, you could say, somewhat of an upset, because Matt Sydal did do a lot of work on ACH's legs to basically try and get a submission win pretty quickly. But it wasn't enough, and yeah, ACH goes 2-1 up in the series. Then the tag team title stuff, with the Addiction defending against the Young Bucks and the Kingdom. Now, this was a good match, but the confusing thing is what happened. You know, this was a really good match. You know, super kicks, pretty cool spots throughout it, everywhere. The key thing, though, was the ending. Because, yeah, during the match, there was a person in the KRD, the Knights of the Red Dawn, came out with a red mask. But instead of hitting the Kingdom or the Young Bucks, he attacked the Addiction. Notably with the moves of Chris Sabin. So that's an intro. It wasn't really clear who it was, which is, I guess, the best thing, because then it's going to be a mystery of who it is. But yeah, Kingdom of the Tag Team Champions. I think that's for the second time, I'm not sure, but yeah, it's good to see them with the gold, certainly, I will say. Then we had a pretty damn good number one contenders match with Strong, Elgin, AJ Styles, and Adam Cole. Baby! And yeah, I think it was, yeah, it was the Bloody Sunday Styles Clash combo on Adam Cole that gave AJ Styles the victory. And afterwards, you could sort of tell that Cole was still miffed at, you know, missing on his chance once again. So this is probably going to be some sort of angle that continues on through the year. But all four did a good job in the ring and shook hands afterwards. It was nice to see. And then finally, your Ring of Honor World title match, Lethal defending against Kyle O'Reilly. So this was a very good match between the two of them. And sort of like a few of the matches, got crazy at the end, but crazy in a really, really good way, to be honest. You know, in some, I know some people have been critical of it, but I actually sort of enjoyed it. It's a shame that Kyle didn't really go after the leg, because Lethal was selling the leg pretty much well throughout the entire match. But they both did a good job. So, yeah, Truth kept interfering. So Nigel McGuinness basically threw Truth out. Then there was the obligatory ref bump. Then Fish came out. Donovan Dijak came out to try and help out the situation. And then Adam Cole showed up and helped O'Reilly. And then super kicked him in the head, allowing Lethal to hit the Lethal Injection, get the three count, and get the win. I mean, you know, I'd have liked to have seen Kyle O'Reilly win, but with the way it's happened, the angle, if this means we're going to see more of Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, I cannot object. I'm going to look forward to that. I don't know if this means Red Dragon are actually going to get the tag belts once again, but yeah, all four of the Kingdom, well, I guess the other three members of the Kingdom came down, showed the sign of four, and beat the hell out of Kyle O'Reilly again. You know, it was a bit of a swerve. But yeah, I'd say pretty good, strong show from top to bottom. There was no atrocious matches. There was nothing really that was, astonishingly bad either. I'd say it's probably worth checking you out on demand on rhwrestling.com. But before all that, we've got TV tapings, so spoilers coming over the next few minutes. You might want to skip until after the commercials, because it's the last stuff that we're covering here for this part. So in the dark match, we had the Pretty Boy Killers beat the Washington Bullets. Then episode one tapings featured Matt Sydal beating ACH with a Shooting Star Press to tie up the series 2-2. Afterwards, the Addiction came in and beat up both men. Following this, All Night Express came in and interrupted the Addiction, so it looks like that's going to be a feud progressing into probably the next show, which I think is Glory by Honor. Then Silas Young led the real man training with a Beer City Bruiser, with Silas and the Bruiser beating the boys with Misery. So basically, they're going to be beaten into men, I guess. I don't know. And following that, Jay Lethal beat Takagi Watanabe with a Lethal Injection with a distraction from Tooth Martini and a low blow, allowing Lethal to retain the TV title. Episode 2 saw All Night Express beat the Addiction with the aid of the mystery KRD member and the One Night Stand. Then Elgin and Red Dragon issued a challenge to Kingdom, came out to cut a promo. And then finally, in the No DQ match, Jay Briscoe beat Adam Page after a J-Driller for a table. And it would appear that Steve Corino also got revenge on Whitmer, so that's probably coming at Final Battle, more than likely. Or it won't. Or it will. Who knows? Episode 3 saw Moose beat Donovan Dijak. There was a confrontation between Dalton Castle and Cedric Alexander, which led to a match which Dalton Castle won. Afterwards, Vader Scott apparently complained about unsafe working condition and says that her and Cedric are suing Ring of Honor. Wow, there's stuff going on there. So then Jay Lethal and Truth Martini come out for a promo. Truth puts Lethal over as the best in the world. Cue Roderick Strong, who interrupts and says that Lethal's only the top guy because of Truth, which of course Roddy knows about because of the previous connection. So Roddy wants one more shot. Lethal understandably says no. They bicker and argue. Nigel McGuinness shows up and says that Roddy gets no shot at the world title, but he will be number one contender for the TV title somewhere down the line. For the main event of this episode, Red Dragon and Michael Elgin beat the Kingdom of Cole and Taven and Bennett, with Chasing the Dragon on Bennett. Afterwards, Cole hits Elgin and Red Dragon with the tag belts, followed by a super triple kick to O'Reilly. O'Reilly then challenged Cole for a match, and therefore Nigel booked. Cole wanted O'Reilly. You know, O'Reilly wanted Cole pretty much right there and then, but didn't set it up and announced that next week Adam Cole would be taking on AJ Styles. Adam Cole versus AJ Styles versus Kyle O'Reilly. It was actually a triple threat. And then episode 4, the Young Bucks versus the Beer City Bruiser and Silas never happened because Silas and the Bruiser subbed in the boys instead, and understandably the Young Bucks whipped the boys in some sense. That sounds wrong. There was a confrontation between BJ Whitmer and Mark Briscoe then, with Whitmer coming out to argue with Nigel at some point. Roderick Strong then beat Will Ferrera with the Stronghold. And then finally, Adam Cole sort of broke his losing streak, beating Kyle O'Reilly and AJ Styles with a knee neck breaker on O'Reilly. So afterwards, all the seconds, so Fish and Elgin, the Kingdom and the Young Bucks all got sent to the back, so it was just the three. But afterwards, there was a brawl between everybody that came out. Yeah, they all showed back up. And Bullet Club stood tall over Red Dragon and Elgin and the Kingdom, with Next World Champs being shouted out profusely as Lethal faced off with AJ. So that's probably building into Glory by Honor coming up next month. So, overall, that's your lot. Certainly it was a good pay-per-view. Have to see what comes out with the television stuff over the next few weeks. But that's your results and your news for this week. When we come back for the final part of this week's show, we've got a ton of previews. I think we've got 14 cards to go through, and that's just the ones that I can manage to get the info from. It's so many shows this weekend, which doesn't help when you're trying to do a short show because you've got to be going to a games convention later this week. So I'll see you in a few minutes for the final part of this week's All Indie Show after this break.
Day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor?
Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SMS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Are you a fan of the SNS Radio Network? Want to keep up with what's going on with all the personalities and radio shows on the SNS Network? Well, let me tell you how. You can check out the Facebook group over at www.facebook.com/groups/SNS Radio Network. On Twitter, follow us at SNS Radio Network. You can follow me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. These are just a few ways to keep up with all the happenings going on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey there, listeners of the SNS Radio Network, Mindwipe here. Now, as most of you listeners know, I happen to promote my own albums every now and again, and the latest one is now available. Yes, Dream Sphere. The musical journey that takes you through the realm of fantasy is now available at mindwipestudios.info. 14 tracks plus a couple of bonus tracks, all available for the neat little price of $10 US. $10 US or A. So check it out today. It's got some great tracks, including Witchwood, Dream Sphere, Flights of Dragons, and many, many more. Dream Sphere, available at mindwipestudios.info.
If you trained, say your prayers, and ate your vitamins, then you'll love the Hulkamania Chronicles. Sean Beckerman, host of Beyond the Bell, your pro wrestling nostalgia podcast, breaks down the history and career of the legendary Hall of Famer, the immortal Hulk Hogan. Each edition covers a different era in the history of the Hulkster as we relive our childhood hero. From the beginning of Hulkamania in the mid-80s and the birth of WrestleMania, through the challenging times of the steroid trial, all the way to his jump to WCW and the formation of Hollywood Hogan and the New World Order, and then his return to the WWF leading in to the Hall of Fame. This edition covers it all. You can catch the Hulkamania Chronicles exclusively on Beyond the Bell here on the SNS Radio Network, brother.
And welcome back to the second part of this week's Hole Indie Show. So we're going to get into previews. As I said, a lot to go through. 14 that I'm going to be covering here, all happening over the weekend. So first up, New Japan, following on from their show on Wednesday, they've got a show coming up this Sunday at the Kobe World Memorial Hall in Hyogo Province. On the card for this one, We've got Yohei Kamatsu and Sho Tanaka taking on David Finlay and Jay White. Now, this is probably an interesting one. We've got Yuji Nagata, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask 4 taking on Manabu Nakanishi, Captain New Japan, and Juice Robinson. So, yeah, the former CJ Parker, I think that's his debut for New Japan, because I don't think he was... I don't remember seeing him listed for the stuff on Wednesday, but I'm not sure. I certainly don't remember saying the name, so... either way, be interested to see how he fares. Then you've got Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Ryosuke Taguchi, and Mascara Dorada facing Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Rocky Romero and Beretta. Then we got Tenkoji teaming up with Matt Sydal to take on the Bullet Club of Anderson, Gallows, and Kenny Omega. I think that means that more than likely Sydal is going to be facing Omega. I'm not sure when, though, because obviously Sydal was supposed to get a shot at... He was supposed to get a shot at the title, which obviously isn't now with Kushida. So whether that means Kenny Omega's, I guess if it is a Ring of Honor show, but it's in Japan, you can sort of get away with Omega being on it. So Kenny Omega might be on a Ring of Honor card in 2016. Ah, that's brilliant. We got Katsuyori Shibata taking on Tetsuya Naito in a special singles match. Then Okada teams up with Toriyano and Kazushi Sakuraba to take on the Bullet Club of Cody Hall, Tama Tonga, and AJ Styles. And then your three matches with things on the line, if you can even call it that. The IWGP Junior Tag Belts being defended as Red Dragon take on Kushida and Alex Shelley. Then you've got the Tokyo Dome IWGP Heavyweight Challenge Rights match as Hiroshi Tanahashi defends his briefcase and guaranteed spot for the big January Wrestle Kingdom show. Taking on Bad Luck Fale. Sort of spoilers. I'm guessing Tanahashi's probably going to win. Because very rarely does that even change hands, so. And then the main event, we'll see Hirooki Goto defend the Intercontinental title against Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm trying to think if that's Nakamura's rematch or not, but should be a good one. Next up, Quintessential Pro back with their next show called Renowned this Saturday. At the Evelyn Mount Community Center in Reno, Nevada. Tickets are $20 for the front row and $15 general admission. There's also going to be a free meet and greet with the doors opening at 7, where fans will be able to meet two of the four horsewomen. No, not WWE's horsewomen, the Ronda Rousey horsewomen, should we say, of Shayna Baszler and Jessamyn Duke. Baszler obviously competing later in the night, which we'll get to in a minute. The opening bell itself is going to be at 8. Only a few matches for this one confirmed so far, at least as of recording, with Nicole Savoy taking on Laura James, Kenny Lush facing Lust of the Legend, Nicole Matthews taking on Christina Von Eerie, Adam Thornstow defending his Quintessential Pro World title in a four-way match, his opponents being Scotty Mack, Artemis Spencer, and Chris Hero. And then the main event, Shayna Baszler making her wrestling debut, I believe. She's had interactions before, but she hasn't been in the ring. So yeah, she's she's going to be in action taking on Cheerleader Melissa. That should be an interesting one. Also set to be there, but not assigned to any matches yet, are JR Kratos, Jeff Cobb, Taylor Correa, Ryan Champ, and more. We've also got another show this week from Lucha Toronto, Lucha TO, however you want to pronounce it. It's the fourth chapter, Reyes de Lucha, happening at the Live Act Theatre on 104 Consumers Drive in Whitby, Ontario. With this one, we've got a fight or flight team taking on the Overdogs. It's a tag team stuff. Then Channing Decker takes on the Copa Torneo Extrema champion Carter Mason. And then the rest of these matches are all matches to get entry into the Lucha Toronto championship match. I'm not sure when that is. More than likely at a future show, from what I can tell. You're going to have the Playboy taking on the Lucha Vixen Alexia Nicole in some intergender action. Trent Gibson one-on-one with Lewis Linden. Triple Threat with Aiden Prince, Movado and Idris Abraham. And then the main event. It was originally supposed to be Ricky Reyes taking on Ray Horace, but Horace has had to pull out due to, I believe, scheduling conflicts. But in his place, Ricky Reyes will be taking on Maybach Beta. So that's, you know, not too bad a card there, actually. Also, sticking in Canada, in Ontario as well, we've got C4 Wrestling. You know, the Capital City Championship Combat. C4 was easier, though. With Only God Forgives. All tickets are $20. I believe this is happening. I think it might be Saturday, because the Lucha show is Sunday. At the Vania Columbus Club on 260 MacArthur Avenue in Ottawa, Ontario. Doors open at 6:45, pre-show at 7:15, which is open to everybody. And the show is at 8. So on the card here, we've got a four-corner scramble with Hooligan Evan Adams, Mr. Jonathan Rukin, The Curse, Cecil Nix, and Velvet Jones. Bad Boy Joey Janela going one-on-one with the Viking. Cuts and Guts, the team of Tarek and John Greed, defend the tag team titles against Fight or Flight of Vaughn Vertigo and Gabriel Fuerza. For the first time ever, Brent Banks will be taking on Too Cold Scorpio. And then the special challenge elimination rules last team standing match. With team, it's 5-on-5. As Team Pazuzu of Chris Dickinson, Pinky Sanchez, Yaka, and EYFBO of Mike Drastic and Angel Ortiz take on Team C4 of Speedball Mike Bailey, the Super Smash Brothers of Player Uno and Stu Grayson, and Le Tabernacle team of Matthew St. Jack and Thomas Dubois. So, you know, I'd say you've got some good wrestling up in the Ontario area for this week, certainly. Next, NYWC having their next show, Till I Collapse 2015, happening this Friday at the NYWC Training Academy in Deer Park, New York. General admission tickets are going to be $20. Front row tickets are $25. Matches confirmed as of recording. There's going to be a tag team gauntlet match. No participants confirmed for that, but the whoever wins will face Flawless and Lawless for the tag belts later that night. In a grudge match, it'll be Apollyon taking on the Big O. Brittany Savage Neal defends her NYWC Starlet Championship against Soraya Cadenza. The Fusion Championship is also on the line as Joe Gacy defends against Papadon. And then there's also going to be a last man standing match with Matt Tremont taking on Stockade. Apparently the feud that's going to go on in God knows how many companies this year. But the added incentive here is Mikey Whipwreck will be the special guest referee for this match. So there you go. Next, a couple of shows from 2CW coming this week, making their return after a few months off. So it starts off with Then, Now, Forever. Wonder where they got that idea from. This Sunday in Syracuse, New York, at the Pastime Athletic Club on 1314 North Salina Street. Doors opening at 7:15 with 8 p.m. bell time. So with this one, you've got a special appearance from IsisFX and also a Michael Christopher Open Challenge. Then the first match of the night for sure, because it's confirmed, a 30-minute Ironman match with AR Fox taking on Colin Delaney. I think because it's the first match that could be going the full 30 minutes. So you might want to get there in time, people. Juggernaut Jason Axe takes on Slick Wagner Brown. Jessica Havoc and Supercop Dick Justice will face Pepper Parks. And replacing the injured Cherry Bomb is Vader Scott. It's nice to see. There's going to be a triple threat with Joe Gacy, Brute Van Slyke, and Moose. Hybrid Sean Carr teams up with Jay Freddy to take on Biff and Ted's excellent tag team adventure of Teddy Goods and Biff Busick. That might be Biff's last appearance, actually, thinking about it, before he heads somewhere. Speedball Mike Bailey goes one-on-one with Cheech. For the 2CW heavyweight title, Captain Nick Ando defends against Kevin the Man Graham. And then for the tag belts, the Young Bucks will take on the Dojo Bros of Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards. Also set to be part of the show, Studley T. McKenzie, Guerrero Loco, Bin Hameem, EMT, Pete DeOrder, and Benjamin Boone. The following night, on Monday, they've got Uncut, Uncensored, Uncooked at the American Legion Post number 80 at 76 Main Street in Binghamton, New York. Doors open at 6:30 with a bell time of 7:15. There will be an appearance by Angelina Love, along with, as the previous night, a special appearance from IsisFX and the Michael Christopher Open Challenge. For the card, Supercop Dick Justice goes one-on-one with Pepper Parks. Joe Gacy faces Slick Wagner Brown. In a number one contendership scramble match for the 2CW title. Oh, I see. It's a scramble match for the number one contendership slot for the 2CW title. One fall to a finish. It's four competitors. JT Dunn, Jay Freddy, Matt Taven, and the party peacock himself, Dalton Castle. We've got some women's action with Vader Scott going one-on-one with Jessica Havoc. I want to watch that. Then Quadruple Conflict. For tag team action, Colin Delaney and Cheech face AR Fox and Speedball Mike Bailey, which, considering CZW, could be awkward, but I don't know whether that's canon. Who knows? Brute Van Slyke and Kevin the Man Graham are team three. And finally, Biff and Ted's excellent tag team adventure. So I guess that is Biff's probably last appearance, because he's on the following show. Chris Hero will be going one-on-one with Roderick Strong. Then we've got a triple threat 2CW heavyweight title match with Captain Nick Ando, if of course he is successful, defending against Juggernaut Jason Axe and Hybrid Sean Carr. However, the added little note here is that if Sean Carr is unsuccessful in this title match, he'll never again receive a 2CW title match versus Nick Ando or Jason Axe if either of them win the title. He's basically got to wait till somebody else has got it. And then your main event for the tag belts, the Young Bucks will be taking on the Wolves of Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards. Also set to appear, Bin Hameem, Pete DeOrder, EMT, Eric M. Timmons, Rob Cook, Studley Steve McKenzie, Guerrero Loco, and Benjamin Boone. Now we've got Five Borough Wrestling's Too Sweet happening this Friday at the American Legion Hall in Brooklyn, New York. Front row tickets are $30. General admission is $20. With the doors opening at 7 with a bell time of 7:45. So on here, we've got Alexander James going one-on-one with Damian Darling, accompanied by Chico. Rude Boy Riley faces Logan Black in the match of the tag team partners. Anthony Gangon faces Talon. And yeah, women's action, we've got Brooke Danielle facing Brittany Blake. For the first time ever, JT Dunne goes head-to-head with Kevin Matthews. We've got Drew Gulak taking on Papadon. The FBW tag titles will be on the line as Flawless and Lawless defend in a four-way, with the other teams being Team Tremendous, Milk Chocolate, and the Dub Boys. Then the FBW Championship match, Brian Myers with a mystery corner man or woman will take on David Starr, accompanied by DJ Hyde. And then the big main event, TJ Marconi and Stockade face Mike Werner and Kevin Nash. TJ, if you are listening to this, have fun, my friend. This is one that's going to be in the autobiography of TJ Marconi, I think, no doubt. Next up, a couple of Ring of Honor Reloaded tour shows, house shows. So first up, Friday in California, Pennsylvania. Apparently that is a real place. You know, I wonder if it's a Pennsylvania in California. I don't know. At the Convo Center at Cal U on 250 University Avenue. Bell time 7:30 for this one. Adam Cole is set to appear, although not signed in the match just yet. But on the card, we got a Woman of Honor match as Mandy Leon faces Taylor Hendricks. ACH faces Caprice Coleman. The Addiction of Daniels and Kazarian goes head-to-head with Will Ferreira and Takagi Watanabe. Then we've got a 3-on-2 handicap match with... Oh, no, sorry. Trios match, I guess. Or, you know, six-man tag. Moose and the War Machine of Hanson and Rowe taking on the House of Truth, I guess, if you could call it, of Jay Lethal, Donovan Dijak, and Jay Diesel. In a Proving Ground match, it'll be ANX of Titus and Kenny King taking on the Kingdom of Bennett and Taven. So if ANX get the win there, straight into the title hunt, certainly. Roderick Strong one-on-one with Michael Elgin. And the main event is the Briscoes versus the Young Bucks. Oh, can't wait to see highlights from that one. Saturday, night two of the tour, heads to Lockport, New York at the Keenan Center on 433 Locust Street. It's a bit of a weird name. With a bell time of 7:30. There's also a Women's of Honor match set for this one. It'll be Veda Scott taking on Sumi Sakai for this one. Then we've also got Pepper Parks going up against Caprice Coleman. The House of Truth of Donovan Dijak and Jay Diesel faces ANX of Titus and King. Roderick Strong versus Takagi Watanabe. The Young Bucks take on the War Machine. The Addiction take on the Briscoes. In a four-corner survival match, it's going to be Moose, ACH, Michael Elgin, and Adam Cole, baby. And then in a Proving Ground match for the Ring of Honor world title, it's Jay Lethal taking on Stevie Richards. Okay. What? All that sort of stuff. That's all I can think of. So then we have Beyond Wrestling. With some historicness happening here. It's first up on Saturday at Fet Music. It's the Greatest Rivals Round Robin. Hashtag grrr. Hence why you heard Rolling Stones earlier. Because it featured on a compilation album which had the same name. Or whatever. So the big thing about this is not only is it the Round Robin tournament with the six matches for the four competitors, but it is going to be Biff Busick's final matches
It was stated final matches at FET, but obviously because he's going to be competing Sunday for 2CW, I don't know whether he's actually going to be able to be part of the Beyond Wrestling show on Sunday. So this could be Biff Busick's final matches outright for Beyond, which would be a shame to see. Biff is facing Drew Gulak, Eddie Edwards, and Timothy Thatcher. You've also got Gulak taking on Edwards and Thatcher, and then the one that you can piece together from that is Eddie Edwards versus Timothy Thatcher. Everybody fights everybody else, and I don't know what prize the winner gets, but I don't think many people will care because it's going to be Biff's final night in a Beyond ring, from what I can tell. Certainly at FET Music. It'll be a shame to see, because Biff's done a good job at Beyond. I wouldn't be surprised if Busick versus Edwards sort of was the main event, because that's the match that sort of wowed the crowds for the last few years. But then again, Biff Gulak's going to be good. Biff Thatcher, Gulak Edwards, Gulak Thatcher, and Edwards Thatcher. That's going to be a strong little round robin event thing. There are a couple of other matches as well, I guess, to let the wrestlers recoup. For the first time ever, Ricochet goes one-on-one with JT Dunn. This is supposedly the undercard. What? We got a tag team match for Team Tremendous taking on Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. Again, this is supposedly undercard. For the first time ever, Brian Fury goes one-on-one with AR Fox. Again, this is undercard. And David Starr has an open contract against a mystery opponent. So, yeah. The undercard alone would be like main event for other shows. So, Beyond is pulling out all the stops for this final set of matches, certainly. Then the following night, they're heading over to Somerville, Massachusetts at the Arts at the Armory venue at 191 Highland Avenue in Suite 1C for Powder Keg. On this one, we've got a free Battle of New England challenge matches. I guess the bone is continuing. The Doom Patrol of Dickinson and Yakka face War Machine of Hanson and Rowe. Pinky Sanchez and EYFBO face the Can-Am Connection of Kan Zagami and Anthony Green and a mystery partner. And then Christina Diamond takes on Alexis Nevaeh. So we've got some women stuff. So I guess Christina Diamond is also part of Christina Diamond is part of the Team Pazuzu stuff, I guess, because Heidi Lovelace is sort of, I'm guessing she might be busy with Shikara. I'm looking at the dates. Yeah, I think she is. That's how you sub in. Timothy Thatcher has an open contract against an opponent to be announced. David Starr versus John Silver. Trevor Lee goes one-on-one with Brian Fury. We've also got Donovan Dijak facing Andrew Everett. Death by Elbow of JT Dunn and Chris Hero face the Kingdom of Bennett and Taven. And then Ricochet versus Shenron. That's pretty... It says dream match. I'd say yes. I'd agree. Also scheduled to be competing are Team Tremendous of Bill Carr and Dan Barry. And finally, I think... Just checking, yep. Shikara have their next show entitled Justice is Blind. Or the set of shows, I should say. Saturday, Justice is Blind at the new Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium with a 7 p.m. bell time. So on the card here, we've got 4 Challenge of the Immortals matches with Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy facing Amasis and Worker Ant. Eddie Kingston versus Oleg the Usurper. Princess Kimberly and Los Ice Creams going up against the Wrecking Crew. And Jakob Hammermeyer versus Argus. And then in non-Challenge of the Immortals action, Mr. Touchdown faces Frightmare. The Proletariat Boar of Moldova takes on Shenron. And then the injustice, I guess you could say, after what happened with King of Trios earlier this month. It'll be Dasha Hatfield, Icarus, and Heidi Lovelace taking on Battleborn. And then Sunday, Shikara brings the Martyr Complex to Norfolk, Virginia at the Norfolk Masonic Temple in 7001 Granby Street. The showtime here is 3 p.m. Here we've got five Challenge of the Immortals matches. Chuck Taylor one-on-one with Jakob Hammermeyer. Silver Ant versus Oleg the Usurper. Eddie Kingston and Argus take on Icarus and Mr. Touchdown. Crown and Court face the Battle Hive. I think that's going to be Atomico's 4-on-4 action from what I can tell. And Dasha Hatfield versus Flex Rumble Crunch. And then we've got one apparently non-Challenge of the Immortals, as it's United Nations taking on Battleborn. But you'd have thought, because of who they are, that might be Challenge of the Immortals. I don't know. It seems confusing. And the main event, the Campeonatos de Parejas on the line, as NRG get a second shot at the Devastation Corporation for the tag belts. Which, considering that a heel team of the BDK have the title shot at the minute, I wouldn't be surprised if you actually saw a title change here. Especially with the added fact that there is no distraction from Sydney Boccabella. So we could be seeing some history in Shikara this weekend, I would say. So, that is your lot for this week. Managed to sort of quickly get through all this. Next week, obviously I won't be watching any wrestling because I'm busy at the games convention, so it could be a short show anyway, but you know, we're going to have quite a lot of results. Hopefully we'll have more news on Lucha Underground stuff and any other things that are announced, you know, I'll make sure I keep you abreast of. And then in terms of shows that are happening next week, if I look at my notes, if I can actually sort it out properly, AIW, AAA have got their next big pay-per-view, Tier 1, we've got some Dreamwave, we've got some ACE stuff, we've got a new Shine show, I think that's right, or is it the following week? I'll have to check. Warriors of Wrestling have got another show, and CWF Mid-Atlantic, so quite a few shows coming up next week. Also, because I forgot, because it's up in the separate part of the notes, New Japan invades Revolution Pro UK next weekend, so I'm probably going to be massively touting and sort of pushing you to go to that one if you are in the UK, to make up for the fact that I can't. Because I'm still probably going to be recovering from everything that's happening. So, check out all the other shows on the network, on the SNS Radio Network website. You can also get in touch with the show here. Facebook, just search Whole Indie Show. Twitter, you can find the page at TWIS_podcast. You can find me at AshIsMyNameUK. You can email us, wholeindy@snsradionetwork.com. That's wholeindy at snsradionetwork.com. I think I said Hotmail. Screw that. wholeindy@snsradionetwork.com. Yeah, I'm not running on a lot of sleep, people. it's going really well. And you can also find the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you are checking it out there, be sure to leave us a review. Positive, negative, you know. Helps if you get positive, because then more people might get the chance to see what we got to show off and things like that. And again, at the minute, I ain't got much to show off because it's short shows because I'm having to focus on the convention stuff. Either way, song of the night for tonight. Concluding, I guess, the theme for September of more modern stuff, considering all the old stuff that I've been using. Probably means I'm going straight back to the old stuff next week. Kasabian Shoot the Runner. So, with that being said, this was Ashley, and that has been your weekly slice of indie goodness. See you next week, everybody.
So wrong.